We often fail to grasp the significance of this night. Even as a priest, I find myself coming up short when asked to explain the incarnation or to teach about what the birth of God in the flesh must mean for us. And how could I not come up short? The incarnation is what happens when the flame becomes flesh. It is the result of the machinations of a God whose ways are beyond my thoughts. It is more than I can fathom. We're taken in by a charming story of a little baby born to a poor family whose opening story is one rooted in the injustice suffered by his people. Under the yoke of a foreign oppressor and poverty, they were moving from one place to another. There was no room in the inn. And if you believe that this child is God in the flesh, you must reckon with his birth in a stable, not as a quaint and familiar scene romanticized by so many paintings and nativity sets and storybooks, but as a shocking welcome to the Word through whom all things were made. That God chose such a birth for himself is perhaps only the second most shocking aspect of the story, the most shocking being that God would choose to be born at all. The Almighty chose to become flesh not as a costume, but truly and fully human. Unlike Zeus or Jupiter or Odin or Ra, the God of Abraham did not wear a costume for a season to fulfill whatever capricious purposes he might have had. Rather, this God, our God, became fully human not to trick us or for any selfish reason, but quite the opposite, to share our death and to share his life. He did so not just to show us what it looks like for the infinite to become finite, not just to show us how eternity might inhabit time, but to raise up the human life from mere dust. In taking on our nature and becoming truly human, God has lifted us all to the realms of glory, no longer mere dust, but beloved dust. As some of you know, I buried my grandfather a few months ago after a long battle with cancer. He was a big man with a big personality, and as I stood over that little box that was full of his ashes, I sprinkled the dirt on top of it, and I said the words that I've said over many people's grandfathers and grandmothers, relatives and friends, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And as I did so, I thought to myself what I think each time I do this. This is why Christ came. He who is so full of life that he had to borrow our death came that we might be filled with his life. He who was there before the first sunrise and formed the stars and the planets and their courses, who was there in the beginning with God and was God, who is the Lord of time and nature and history, he came to us in the midst of our death to give us life. He came to us so that when we at last lay our lives upon his altar and all our stories, our victories and losses and triumphs and failures are shoved into that little box and buried under earth, we may yet rejoice because the God of life has shown us that even this will be used to fulfill his purposes. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. But then the question becomes, now what? We must eventually leave the graveside. We must eventually take down the Christmas tree and box up the ribbons and the lights. The joyous feelings of warmth of this season will eventually fade into memory, And so what shall we do then? As the shepherds eventually had to leave the manger and return to their flocks, they carried with them the good news that they had witnessed. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. It is incumbent upon all of us to take what we have witnessed and to share it with others. Our lives are a witness to the power of life over death, of hope over fear, of love over hatred. We confess our belief in an apostolic church, meaning ones who are sent. God sent his Son that we might no longer fear death, but by faith in his cross become a people whose lives shine with Christ's light. God sent his Son, and now his Son sends us, no longer as servants, but as brothers and sisters, friends, so that even in the darkness of human sin, a light shines through to all nations and peoples, that we might proclaim with the angelic host that Christ is born in Bethlehem, that even at the grave we might sing Alleluia, that among our fields and flocks we might teach to all the love of God so great that not even heaven could hold him. And that even as the rocks cry out, we might join in their song as all creation sings the praises of our Creator and Redeemer and King. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to his people on earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.